Start for today, as Afyomi recently began a new Masechta, Masechta Torios, which discusses the laws of what's called Par Helam Dover Shel Kriva, a carbon that's brought when the Bezdin rules that a person is permitted to do an act which in truth a person is not only prohibited to do, but is punishable with kareis if he does it. Such as a Chil Shabbos of some sort. If Bezdin permits such a thing mistakenly, and people, most of Klal Yisrael, follow their ruling, the halacha is that when Bezdin finds out their mistake, when they discover their mistake, we are required to bring a special carbon for the Par Helam Davar, upon which the elders of the Bezdin place their hands and so make their hands, they lean on it, and they say a certain vidui that to show that their ruling misled Klal Yisrael. This act is referred to as smicha. Smicha is the kenim. Smicha, and in the Braisa in Sanhedrin 13b, refers to acts by that name. Smicha and smicha is the kenim. The first one, smicha, is the one discussed in Harayos. The second one, called smicha, is something that's a bit more familiar to us. It refers to giving ordination to a rabbi, making someone a rabbi that has been appointed and officially recognized. This is not quite the same smicha as today's smicha, as we shall see. The reason we're discussing this now is because a number of the points discussed in this page of the Daf Yomi, in recent pages of Daf Yomi, affect in a very important way the halacha as to whether this type of smicha, maybe the rabbinical ordination that the Gemara refers to, may be performed today or not. Again, the smicha that we do today is different than the one I'm talking about, and I'm going to explain to you in a minute why. And the difference between them is that the smicha we do today, where we officially give some rabbinical ordination by some rabbinic body, is simply a way of recognizing that this person who the smicha has been given to knows the halachos and is maybe relied upon, maybe trusted to rule in halachic situations for which the body that offered the smicha gives the ordination. You could give him rabbinical ordination to rule about kitchen matters or to rule about dispute matters, monetary disputes, or other things. Gemara in Sanhedrin 5b says that this was instituted because a student of Rebbe's, a student of the author of the Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, also known as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, went and taught halachos. Although the student knew the halachos properly, since he could not pronounce his words, he could not pronounce enunciated words properly, he was misunderstood, and that caused terrible damage. After that, Rebbe instituted that a student is not allowed to rule publicly on any halachic matter unless his teacher has given him some sort of ordination and has recognized him as being a rabbi, as being able to pass ruling on halachic matters. Basically, this simply says that I trust this person, nothing more. If the person's Rebbe is no longer alive, he doesn't even need this kind of ordination. We just assume that the Rebbe allowed him to rule, as the Rambam mentioned. Now, this smicha that I mentioned earlier, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses on Daf Yud Gimel on the days, and says that it must be done by three rabbis must give the smicha. This is a specific type of rabbinical ordination, which allows a person to become a mumcha, to become a samach. A samach means he has special rights to pass ruling and to pass justice on halachic matters that only people that are samach are permitted to pass rulings on, are permitted to judge. The reason that someone that is not samach cannot rule in these matters is not for the same reason we mentioned previously, namely that the person may not be able to pronounce his words properly or may not know the halachas properly. Rather, it's because the Torah spells out that in order to be a judge for these matters, a person must be a samach, a mumcha. He must have received smicha. What is this smicha? This smicha was started originally by Moshe Rabbeinu, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is allowed to pass rulings on any matter, of course. Moshe Rabbeinu then was allowed to grant smicha privileges to any students of his that he felt were qualified. He gave this to Yehoshua ben Nun, his main pupil, Yehoshua ben Nun, as well as to the 70 elders that he appointed. He chose them, he saw that they knew all the halachas that are required, and he gave them smicha, which allowed them to pass judgments and rulings in all matters. What matters are there that a person cannot rule upon if he does not have smicha? Well, there are three categories. There's monetary law, such as monetary law which involves personal damage. If someone damages another person, today we do not pass rulings in such matters, an obligated person to pay. If my animal damages someone's animal, or I damage someone's animal or someone's property, the court will rule and may obligate me to pay. If I damage someone physically, I cause them harm, the court may put a chayim on me or use some other method of coercion in order to have me stop acting in such a manner, but they cannot obligate me monetarily. Only a samach may obligate a person to do that. A normal court that is not samach, that does not have the special smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu that he gave to Yeshua, and Yeshua gave to his students, and the Canaan, the 70 elders, gave to their students, and so on. If someone is not part of that lineage, he did not get a direct line of smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, he may not pass rulings and may not force people to act in such situations. The second category is laws that are not exactly monetary, in other words, not simple damages, but punishments. For example, the simplest punishment is a knas, a monetary punishment. If someone, a thief, steals something, the Torah says he must pay back double. The double payment is called a knas, because the payment is not simply paying a damage, but rather it is an extra added payment that the Torah requires over and above the amount that was damaged. This is a punishment for a knas. Another type of punishment is physical punishment. Physical punishment can be administered only by a rav musmach, bezdin, that is musmach. If you have three elders that have received smicha from the rabbis down to Moshe Rabbeinu, they may punish a person by giving him malchus. If you have 23 such elders, they may punish a person by killing him for transgressing a law for which the punishment is lashes. For which the punishment is death. If the punishment is either lashes or death, it may be administered again only by a court that has received smicha. The third category is kiddush hachodesh. To determine when the new month starts, the court, the Jewish court, sits and decides that the new month may start either because they have received testimony to the fact that the new moon has been seen, or because they determined that the new month should start even based on a calculation. Nevertheless, that announcement that the new month has started must be performed by a court of at least three people who are musmach, who have received smicha. The Rambam says actually Beis Din HaGadol must do this. Beis Din HaGadol meaning the largest Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, the 71 or 70 member court, the high court. However, they can also tell a lower court to do the job for them. This again must be done by elders that are samach. The Beis Din HaGadol consists of the elders that are samach, the Sanhedrin or Beis Din HaGadol meaning the high court, as well as the other courts that perform Kiddush HaKodesh and announce the month. They are musmachim. The privileges of a musmach do not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Meaning, if a person receives smicha, even if he receives it in Eretz Yisrael, the moment he goes to Chutz La'aretz, he no longer is privileged to pass judgments on any of these three categories, on physical damage, on punishments, and on Kiddush HaKodesh. If he receives smicha in Eretz Yisrael, and if he receives the smicha in Eretz Yisrael, then he is permitted to pass judgments on these matters anywhere in the world. However, if he is outside of Eretz Yisrael, he may not receive smicha. Meaning, first a judge must receive smicha in Eretz Yisrael, and then he may pass judgments on any of these matters anywhere in the world. However, if he was never in Eretz Yisrael, or he did not receive smicha at the time that he was in Eretz Yisrael, then he cannot pass judgments on these matters because he cannot become a Tzomach in the first place. Smicha is only given in Eretz Yisrael, although it does apply to a person everywhere that he happens to be. In the Gemara, you'll notice that there are two titles given to the rabbis mentioned in the Gemara, either Rav or Rebbe. Those are the main titles, I believe. What is the difference between Rav and Rebbe? The Rishonim explain, the Aruch, Erech Abaye, and the Rishonim explain that Rav means someone who is not musmas, who never received smicha. Whereas Rebbe, with a yud at the end, or Rabbi refers to a person that did receive smicha in Eretz Yisrael. You'll notice that in general the Tanoim, meaning those mentioned in the Mishnah, have Rebbe before their names because they were in Eretz Yisrael, so they received smicha since they were on such a high level of Torah learning. Those that were on a high level of Torah learning but lived outside of Eretz Yisrael did not receive smicha because smicha cannot be given outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore their title was Rav, meaning great rabbi, but not musmach. Rav, the person referred to as Rav, who was Abba from Surah, himself did not receive a smicha. The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin that he was in Eretz Yisrael originally, and from there he went to Babel, but there was a reason why he was not given smicha. In any case, this is what it means when it says Rebbe in the Gemara, and smicha is what gives the person that title and gives him the privileges to pass judgment in these cases. We know that nowadays there are no longer any batei dinim or any people who can claim to have received smicha ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning passed down person to person from Moshe Rabbeinu. We do not have any smicha. Does that mean that it is no longer possible to pass judgment, to pass rulings in any of these three matters, in punishment, physical damages, and Kiddush HaKodesh? Or is there a way to perhaps get back smicha? What will happen? Will there never be smicha again? Well, we know that when Mashiach comes, there will certainly be smicha again. Well, Mashiach himself will apparently be able to give smicha. Mashiach will be able to give smicha as a prophet, or because he receives, or because he will be someone Mashiach will be able to give smicha, perhaps as a prophet, and he will renew the smicha. But what about nowadays? Before Mashiach comes, is there any way for us to renew the smicha? The Rambam writes something very interesting, a postulate of his own in this matter, which at a certain point in history caused a tremendous controversy in Klal Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Perish HaMishnah, beginning of Sanhedrin, also in Bechoros, Perik Talad Mishra Gimel, and in Hilchos Sanhedrin, which we have in the Mara Makomos, Perik Talad Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam writes, it would appear to me that even if there are no more people alive who have received smicha ish mi pi ish, there is a way to renew the smicha. And that is, if all of the elders of Eretz Yisrael gather together and decide that there's one person, or maybe even more than one person, who is fit to pass halakhic rulings on all matters, who is fit to teach anyware in the Torah, a big Talmud Chacham who knows all the laws of the Torah, they decide that he deserves to be a Rosh Yeshiva, meaning a Rosh Bezdin, that he deserves to be a Musmach, they're able to choose them and say, we all decided, all the Talmidei Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael together decided that we want you to be a Mutmach, to be a Rosh Yeshiva, meaning a Rosh Sanhedrin, and that person then will become Mutmach. He'll become a person that is that has a smicha and can pass it down to others as well. This is what the Rambam writes. It would seem to me, says the Rambam, why do I write this? Where did I get this from? That I got it from logic. What was my logic? I got it. The topic says the Ashiva Shof Taif Kavari Shona, as we dive in Shemona Esrei every day. Hashem says, I'll return to the Yerges to what they originally were. What does it mean that Hashem says, I'll return your judges to what they originally were? That means that you'll get back the privileges of justice. They'll be able to pass justice on all the that they have passed justice on the past. Meaning even punishments, Kiddush HaKodesh, and personal damage, bodily damage, all these things will be the privilege of the judges just as it used to be. When will this happen? Says the Rambam, if you look at the verses in Yeshaya, where this is written, it would seem that this will happen not after Mashiach comes, but before Mashiach comes. And in fact, in Shemona Esrei, the order of the brachos, according to the Gemara Megillah, is in the order of the occurrences of the different parts of the Geula, of the final redemption. When we say, Hashiva Shofkeinu Kvar Rishonu, we're davening Hashem to bring us back the judges. When we say later, Hashem sends us Mashiach, we're saying that afterwards, because Hashem will return the judges before the Mashiach will come. Says the Rambam, how will the judges come back before Mashiach comes? It's not for the fact that there is some way to reinstitute the smicha. This, says the Rambam, is probably the way that it's done. All the people, all the Talmidei Chachamim, the Eretz Yisrael get together and agree to make someone a Mutmach. In the Perush Mishnah, the Rambam says this in an unreserved manner. He says that this is the halacha. This would seem to me to be correct. In the halacha, he already shows his reservations, and he says, "V'hadavet tzarech hechla." I can't decide this myself. This has to be decided still, meaning whether there is such a way of renewing the smicha, that has to be decided. In 1538, at the time, there were a few kehilas in Eretz Yisrael. The main kehila was in Tzfat. And there were a few Talmidei Chachamim, a few people in Yerushalayim. In the main kehila in Tzfat, they decided to renew the smicha. What was the reasoning behind it? The reasoning they had, they said, was because we have people here that are sinners, that have sinned in Spain and Portugal, and came to Eretz Yisrael, and we tell them, our brothers, now that you're back in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have goyim forcing you to sin. Now you can return to the mitzvah of Hashem and to Hashem's ways. But these people would answer and say, it's too late. We already performed the worst sins possible. We're chayv kareis. We're going to be cut off from Olam Haba. There's nothing left for us. Why should we return to Hashem? That's what they said. You have to remember that in 1538, it was shortly after the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition, and there was a time when many people were forced to choose between giving up all their possessions and maybe even their life, or to accept foreign religion. And some people could not withstand the test. And when they got out, they said, now that we have failed the test, it's too late for us to do tshuva. In fact, the Talmidei Chachamim said, we can't let this happen. We can't let this happen. We have a solution. We could give them malchus. It says in the Gemara, in the ends of Malchus and other places, that if a person receives the punishment of malchus for an avera, which is punishable with malchus, then it will absolve him from kareis. He'll no longer be chayav kareis. Let us give them malchus and absolve them from kareis, and they'll have no reason not to do tshuva. But wait, malchus is a punishment that can only be given by smuchin. How will we be able to give it? The Chachmei Tzfat came up with a solution of relying on the Rambam. They decided that it was one Talmid Chacham who was head and shoulders above all of them, Rav Yaakov Beirav. They said, we will announce to the world that he is a Mutmach. He has been elected by all of the people in Eretz Yisrael to become a Somach. And once that has happened, he can be Somach. Other people will have three people that will be a Beis Din. Any sinner can come to them and request Malchus. They will give them Malchus and absolve them from the punishment of Kares. After they decided, they drew up a letter saying that we're giving him smicha, just like the Rambam said to do. Write up a letter, we're making them a Rav, a Rebbe. But then they remembered there's the Kehillah in Yerushalayim also. The Rambam says that all the Chachamim have to appoint, all the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael have to appoint someone. Why the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael? In 1 minute, there's other Chachamim in Chutz La'aretz. What about them? Says the Rambam, they're not considered Kohol, congregation of Israel. Meaning, it says in our Gemara, in Hayyus over here, it says that Kola Koho, the word Kola Koho, the entire nation, refers to all the people in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara brings the proof. Says the Rambam, from this we see that when it comes to a Sanhedrin, to appointing Sanhedrin, for matters to do with Sanhedrin, we look only at the people in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it with regard to the people who listen to Sanhedrin. The same applies to the people to appoint Sanhedrin, says the Rambam. But the people in Tzfat realized that although they were the main community in Eretz Yisrael, Maral Bach, Rav Levi ben Chaviv, was a very sharp Rav and known to be very unflinching in his opinions and in his Kavod HaRabbanus. And Rav Levi ben Chaviv lived in Yerushalayim. They couldn't make a smicha without including him. And who says he will agree to reinstitute the smicha? What they did was, they sent a letter to Rav Levi ben Chaviv asking him to join them and to agree to the smicha of Yaakov Beirav. Now, what did they do? They said, it's really not fair. He's a big Talmud himself. This will be insulting to him. We're choosing Yaakov Beirav, the biggest Talmud. What they did was they wrote to him, we want to make you a Mutzmach as well. We'll make you and Yaakov Beirav to be Mutzmachim. We already wrote to Yaakov Beirav he's a Mutzmach, and here we're all agreeing that you'll be Mutzmach as well. You just have to agree. And once you agree, we'll have all the Talmidei Chachamim and Varei Tishra, we'll have back Smicha, and we'll be able to absolve those poor people of their Kares. Well, the plan was a good one, but it didn't work. When the Levi ben Chaviv saw the Ksav, he was flabbergasted. They didn't write any of the reasoning of how they did it and how they dissected the intentions of the Rambam and what the Gemara means and whether this is the way to do it and how to do it and can they do it. That's anything more than we've given us Micha so Yaakov Beirav. This way we'll be able to give Malchus and absolve people from Kares, and you should also agree. He didn't like that at all. And he said that there are so many mistakes in this in this idea, in your great idea. There's so many problems with it that there's just nowhere to start. He says, I'm certainly not going to I'm not going to agree to you. I disagree and think that you cannot give smicha. First of all, even if you could give smicha, it wouldn't help to absolve people from Kares. Why? Because only a rabbinic malchus offered by a court can absolve them from Kares, and a malchus given by the court only if a witness is two valid witnesses who can testify that a person sinned an aveira for which he tried Kares, and he was given a hasrah, he was given a warning at the time of the sin. Two people told him, don't do this, or else you'll be chayav malchus. And if he said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyhow, then you could give him malchus. But if you don't have two people that heard him say, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyhow, then you can't give him malchus. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The same applies to a lot of punishment. It cannot be given without Esra. So if so, what does it help you to make smuchin? Smuchin are going to be useless. They can't give malchus. So what are you going to tell me? Maybe they only cannot give malchus against the person's will. But let's say a person comes to the court and says, please give me malchus to absolve me from Kares. I've sinned. I admit this. Maybe then you could give him malchus. And then you'll absolve him from the Kares if it's there been a court that's giving malchus. Rabir says, quite logically and obviously, it would seem obviously, but that's ridiculous. It says in the Gemara and Mishnah Bava Kama, a person that says, come and hit me, has no right to do so. We may not hit him. We are not in the middle of him. If we hit him, even if he says, come and hit me, we're over and it's a loss. The Rambam brings it to as far as people that admit and say, I'm chayef malchus, we may not give him malchus. Says the Pharisee in Rambam, the end of Perek Yud Chet Sanhedrin. So, if so, you cannot give him malchus on such, based on such admission. Not only that, if you give it, we'll be avera. We'll be over the itiv, lo yosef. You're not allowed to hit a Jew and damage him and hurt him without any reason. And therefore, that's not going to help at all. Not only that, there's other problems. You're going to get into the problems of Kiddush HaKodesh. If you have a valid court that has smicha, and you're able to make Kiddush HaKodesh, well, you'll be required to make Kiddush HaKodesh. And if so, we won't be able to celebrate the Moadim and Golos in the fashion that we've done until now, based on the calculation, because once that thing is mekadesh the Kodesh, you're going to do so based on eyewitness testimony, someone that saw the moon at a certain time, at a certain day, and the court will have to accept his testimony and cross-question him. And if you do that, what is going to be with all the people in Kiflar that are still holding on to the calculations? You're going to have to go back to the old way of spreading the word, which is, well, before the days of radio and television, was done with torches, waving torches. You can wave torches all the way mountain to mountain until Spain to tell people that you've made a new Kodesh. It's going to get terribly out of hand. People aren't near Eretz Yisrael like they used to be. And he had found other problems with the supposed solution for the Itzakare. And as far as the Rambam itself, he says, the Rambam himself says, "Ein davar tzar hefer." This matter must be determined, meaning I'm not certain myself that we can do such a thing. Keep in such a fashion. Even though I'm a parish commissioner, he does not say that. And therefore, how could you go ahead and give and say that permission can be given? Another matter, which has to do with the Gemara at hand, Horios, is the Maribir said, well, the truth is, when it comes to such matters, we usually follow the majority opinion. We have to follow the rule, meaning that if most of the people say, most of the Tamid HaKam say, this is Halacha, the minority has to give in to them. Well, maybe you're going to tell me, Chach Meitzvah, says Maralbach, that I am in the minority, and you have decided that I'm wrong. Smicha can be given, and it can absolve a person from Karei. Says Maralbach, not going to help you. Why is that? Says, well, first of all, says the Rambam says, Kol Chach Meitzvah Yisrael. There are times where the Rambam says, Kol Alov, all or most of. However, the Rambam here does not say, Kol or Rov, he says Kol Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. You don't have Kol Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. I don't agree. Your majority is not going to help you. To make smicha without me is not going to work. I maintain it's not going to work, even if most of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael agree to it, right? And he says, what's the reason for that ruling? We know that the Gemara Bayah says Rov is always like Kula. Ruba is always like Kula. Majority is always enough. It's considered like an entire body. Says the Rambam. Well, the Rambam ruled in what seems to be in contrast to this Gemara that is discussing Horios, and says that there are times where majority is not enough. The Gemara in Horios is discussing a statement of Rav Yonasan, in which Rav Yonasan states that if most of the Sanhedrin permit an Isser Kares and people follow the ruling, it's not enough. That doesn't require that Klal Yisrael bring a carbon tar helam dava. It's only when all of the Sanhedrin rule that it's permitted to do an Isser Kares, and then most of Bnei Yisrael follows that ruling, then we'll say that you have to bring a tar helam dava. But not that only most of the Sanhedrin agree. The Gemara seems to say it's not necessarily so. The Gemara seems to conclude Tirsa or Yenison Tirsa. It's not necessarily so. It's enough to have most of the members of Sanhedrin rule in this regard. But the Rambam says all of the members of the Sanhedrin have to rule that they agree to the ruling of permitting an Iser Karet before a Karet was ever taken through. Why actually did we not apply the rule of Ruvo Kekulo over here? And the Ra'al Bach, who's later than Chavir, suggests that in matters that have to do with Sanhedrin, it's not enough just to have the robe. Apparently, you need an entire body of kol, kulo. So that, it won't suffice. And if so, the same will apply to appointing a musmach. It will not be enough that you have robe. You'll have to have an entire kol, the entire group of the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, agreeing if you want to appoint someone as a musmach. That's what the Ra'al Bach suggests. And he gives he says that, first he says that this has to do with all matters of Sanhedrin. That when it comes to matters of Sanhedrin, you have to have a full agreement. And then he says, it's possible that even if all matters of Sanhedrin do not require a full consent of everybody involved, maybe this particular case over here does require everyone to be involved. And the reason is, he says, because smicha can be performed by a single rabbi who is musmach, who has two other people with him, even if they're not musmach. A single rabbi, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to give smicha by himself. That's how the Rambam rules. And if so, says the Ra'al Bach, perhaps the entire body of Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael have to be like a single body, like a single person, that has to all agree. In any case, whatever it is, he says, maybe over here we will not apply the rule of Ruvo Kekulo based on Agmar and Horayos. That was what he said. Now, says Ra'al Bach, maybe you're going to tell me that, okay, that's what I say, but you say that Ruvo Kekulo is enough, and you're the majority, so we follow you. In other words, if I would be right, we would require all the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael to agree. You say, then I'm wrong. And you're the majority. And if you're the majority, then we should ignore what I say. And therefore, a majority of Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael will suffice. Wrong again, says Ra'al Bach. It's not going to help. Why won't it help? Says Ra'al Bach, because you can't vote on it anymore. You can't vote on this matter. He says, you originally voted without me. When you voted without me, it wasn't as if a majority ruled one way and a minority ruled the other way. You ignored one of the people who was supposed to be taken into consideration. You just came out with this ruling by yourself and decided that you could give smicha without asking me. The Rambam, the Gemara says over here, and the Rambam says that if a court rules in such a way that the majority rules one way and the minority rules another way, you follow the majority. But if one person abstains or is left out of the ruling, it's not a court. It doesn't count. And the same way, says Ra'al Bach, if you didn't count me in the first place, that wasn't a ruling. It doesn't count. So maybe you're going to tell me we'll make a ruling now. Now we're going to go ahead and get together. You're included. You say we cannot make smicha. We say we can. Now we're the majority. Now we beat you. No, says Ra'al Bach, it's still not going to help. Why isn't it going to help? It's because you're not to be trusted. Why is that? It's because maybe if you say we could give smicha, even after hearing what I told you, maybe it's just because you want to uphold your previous ruling. It's not an honest opinion. Rather, your opinion is being expressed because you want to say that we didn't make a mistake. And you want to protect your honor, and that's why you're saying that. But you really know that I'm right. And therefore, since your ruling can no longer be trusted, what if you already said that a robe is enough? Now, and that you could give smicha. Now, it's too late to have another ruling and sit together on the matter. Because if we're going to sit together, well, I'm going to say you can't make smicha. You're going to say we can, and we're going to have to ignore you. You're not saying an honest opinion. Your opinion is just in order to protect your honor. Maybe you'll tell me that that's not true. The big honor of Talmud Chacham is when he admits to the truth. Says Ra'al Bach, and that's true. But only if you could prove to the Talmud Chacham that he made a mistake. But over here, where it's a matter of logic, and you could say I'm wrong, I could say I'm right, so then you'd rather uphold your previous ruling and say that your logic is right, rather than saying that I'm really right, even though you know I'm right. So now, Ra'al Bach, forget it. You have no chance. It's gone. And he sent this question to other big Zayler Adar. Radvaz lived at the time and was involved. He was in Egypt at the time. And they came out and said, it cannot be done. Another point that the Radvaz made is that the Rambam tells us smicha can only be given to someone who can pass a ruling on every single matter of the Torah. If he could pass rulings even on things like hetzah b'choros, like mumin, things, obscure matters, matters that aren't dealt with nowadays very much altogether, then the Rambam says then you could be made a musmach for any particular part of smicha, meaning that you could be made a musmach to only rule as far as punishments, to only rule as far as kiddush hakodesh, etc. But only if you are fit or worthy to rule in all matters. So the advice, who in the world is worthy to rule on all matters nowadays? It's ridiculous. Even the biggest Tamid of Chachamim can't claim to do that. Therefore, there's none that could become a Muslim. I'll spend maybe a few more minutes that we have left discussing the proof of the Rambam. So it's a very interesting proof. And we see that the Rambam himself doesn't want to rely on that proof in his Mishnah Torah, in his Halachic Sefer. What exactly is the validity or the weaknesses of the proof of the Rambam that Smicha is going to be given before Mashiach comes? We saw that the Rambam says Smicha is going to be given before Mashiach because the Pasuk says, V'ashiva Shastash V'arishona. We see that Hashem is going to return the Shoftim before Mashiach comes. They're going to have Smicha. Where are they going to get it from? Says the Meral Bach, as well as the Radvaz, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, as well as Tosfos Yontiv in the beginning of Sanhedrin, they suggest, what do you mean? Someone is going to come before Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi, who was the same Eliyahu, who was a Talmud of the Zakenim, who was Pinchas Eliyahu, Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, who saw Moshe Rabbeinu. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back before Mashiach comes, and he's going to be with us there. He's going to let us know Mashiach is here. It's Eliyahu, and he's going to come before Mashiach. We know that Eliyahu has Smicha. And when he comes back, then he'll be able to give Smicha. Well, that's obviously how the court will return before Mashiach. Isn't that a simple enough solution? Says Rav Bach and the others. The Rashash in Sanhedrin, Rashi Gimel, as well as the Mitzchias in Ervin, refute this obvious refutation for the Rambam. In other words, they uphold the ruling of the Rambam, who says that there will be smicha before Mashiach, and it won't be from Eliyahu HaNavi, rather it will be by all the Chachamim getting together, and the Rashash proves that the Rambam's right, and it's not Eliyahu that can make smicha from the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says that if a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir the day Mashiach comes, he has to be a Nazir every day because maybe Mashiach will come that day. Maybe Mashiach is going to come today. If a person says, I say I'm going to be a Nazir if Mashiach comes today. Maybe Mashiach will come. I have to be a Nazir. I'm not allowed to drink wine today. And tomorrow also. And the day after also. However, on Shabbos, I don't have to be a Nazir. Mashiach won't come on Shabbos. Why won't he come on Shabbos? Says the Gemara. Well, maybe because there's different reasons. Then the Gemara says, the reason that we know he can't come on Shabbat, maybe it's because Eliyahu didn't come the day before Mashiach, and if he didn't come Friday, then Mashiach can't come on Shabbat. So since Eliyahu Novi didn't come Friday, because it's after Friday already, I know that it's Shabbat, Eliyahu Novi didn't come. If so, then I know Mashiach's not going to come. The Gemara says, Matisom, what do you mean? How can you believe that if Eliyahu Novi didn't come Friday, and therefore I could drink wine on Shabbat because Mashiach won't come today? How could he know that? How can you know that? After all, if you say that logic, then on Sunday also, on Monday also I could drink wine, because I know that the shift didn't come Sunday, so Monday I could drink wine. On Tuesday I could drink wine, because the shift didn't come Monday. What kind of logic is that? So the question is, well, what do you mean? But it is true that Eliyahu HaNavi has to come before Mashiach, so why actually can I not drink wine on Monday if Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come Sunday? The Gemara says, because maybe Eliyahu HaNavi did come already. I just didn't care about it. Where did he come? He came in front of Beis Din HaGadol, says the Gemara. He came and stood in front of Beis Din HaGadol, and that's where he was. And I just didn't find out about it yet, because I don't happen to be where the Beis Din HaGadol is. The Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi will come to a Beis Din HaGadol before Mashiach comes. That means there wasn't Beis Din HaGadol before Eliyahu HaNavi came. What does Beis Din HaGadol mean? Beis Din HaGadol means the Sanhedrin. And the group of Musmachim that sit in Lishkas HaGadol, and that pass rulings on halachic matters. You see clearly from the Gemara and the Rambam's right that there was a Sanhedrin before Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. And he's going to come and stand before the Sanhedrin. That's what the Rosh Hashanah here suggests. However, this proof is refuted by others. The Tumim, the great of Yonatan and Abishas, in Tumim, Simon Aleph, says, already thought of this proof and rejected it. He said, you can't prove anything from here. He said, when the Gemara says Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to Beth Megadol, it means he's going to make a Beth Megadol, and then he's going to come before them. He's going to come in order to make a Beth Megadol and to announce the coming of Mashiach. It doesn't mean it's going to come before a pre-existing Beth Megadol. He himself is the one that has to make it. He's going to make a Beth Megadol. That's what he suggests. It may not be so simple in the reading of the words of the Gemara, but another suggestion, another way of saying that we cannot prove the Rambam from this Gemara is by looking in the Ritva here. The Ritva says it doesn't mean that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before Beth Megadol. It means he's going to come to the Lishkat HaGadol, the place where Beth Megadol normally sits. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he's going to find the Beth Megadol there, because there are no Beth Megadol necessarily, perhaps. But it means that he is going to come to the place of the Beth Megadol. And if so, there's no proof from the Gemara that he is going to Beth Megadol before Mashiach comes. Therefore, the Rambam, again, has no proof from this Gemara. The truth is that the Rambam would not seem to have been bothered by all of this, because it sounds from the Parish of Mishnah in the Rambam, and the Tumim himself points out that it's necessary altogether to have Eliyahu HaNavi come before Mashiach. He writes there's going to be a Navi coming before Mashiach. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says that Yinishalach will come at Eliyahu HaNavi. It doesn't mean that it's the same Eliyahu that we remember from the times of Pinchas Eliyahu and from the story of how he went up to Shemayim. It's a Navi. And it's only a person as the Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe because he'll have a trace of Eliyahu or some other reason. It doesn't necessarily mean that there will be the same reincarnation or the same person who never died. Eliyahu HaNavi would pick up the Sarah Shemayim. And if so, then it's certainly not Mukhas that there will be anyone before Mashiach to make a Sanhedrin. Because this might be the Rambam's proof that there was there's a way to make a Sanhedrin without a Mukhmach Ishmi to Ishmi in Moshe Rabbeinu, without having someone that receives Mukhmach from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, that might be the way that the Rambam refuted the question of the Radvaz and Rabbah from the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi might be the ones to return with Misa. What is the reason that the Rambam writes a David Sarakhefka? I'm not so sure about it. Maybe because HaNavi could also make Smicha. Maybe he's in doubt as to whether Smicha must be made only by person after person from Moshe Rabbeinu or by all of the people or whether HaNavi could just come and Hashem will tell him, make someone a Mutzmach, and therefore that will return with Smicha. In any case, the Rambam says it's not clear, and the Smicha was given to Maria of Yaakov Deira. He gave it to his students, the Bital Ashkenazi, the Alshich, the Chavedim received Smicha, I believe, also, the Beis Yosef, also on the Shulchan Aruch, but afterwards, apparently, it stopped altogether, and nowadays, and even the Smicha that they did, call themselves Muslims, but the Zaynish writes them the place of Mishpat, that's just an honorary smicha, but not that they really maintain that this smicha will work and will allow a person to give malchus or to give or to judge dina knasos, because they were outshouted, they were out-argued by the Moral Bach, and they never really put it into practice, the application of the smicha.